Hello everyone. You're very welcome along on this audio walk from open country with me, Tom. When I woke up this morning and pulled back the curtains, I was met with a thick cloud of fog. And I thought, oh brilliant, I'm going out to record an audio walk today. Although it's cleared a little bit, it's still pretty misty. It's what you'd probably call the traditional pea super. On top of that, you may also be able to hear the pitter-pattering of raindrops on the leaves in the surrounding canopy of this little section of woodland in which I'm sheltering. But as always, we're not going to let this weather dampen our spirits. In fact, we're going to let it enhance our spirits as we go for a fantastic walk around an autumnal hackfall wood. I'm following signs to a viewpoint, although to be honest, I'm not quite sure why, because when I get there, I'm pretty sure I won't be able to see anything. The mist is all-encompassing and shrouding Hackfall Wood in this beautiful air of mystery and atmosphere. Ah, this must be the viewpoint. It's marked by a neatly carved bench, which is sitting between two old tree stumps. It's looking out over a gap in the trees, through which on a clear day you'd be able to follow the line of the River Yore towards the impressive spire of St Mary's Church in the market town of Massham. But today, it's just framing a misty void. I can just about make out the river. I was going to say glinting, but it's more sort of looming in the valley below. And up to that, a beautiful pattern of autumn colours is disappearing, just out of view, into the white, cloudy void that lies beyond. Although you can't see that fantastic vista, it's still pretty beautiful, I must admit. From the viewpoint, we've made our way down through the misty woods to the banks of the River Yore, which is twisting and drifting through this wood-clad valley. Despite not being able to see a huge amount, the autumn colours are still standing proud and leaping out at me, and providing just some brightness to an otherwise dull day. In front of me are two stone gateposts standing proud at either side of the path, and tempting me deeper and deeper into the woods of Hackfall. The name is said to derive from the Old Norse word haggan, which means to chop or hack, and the Old English word fall, which means valley or vale. The woods themselves have had quite an interesting history. They were bought for £906 in 1731 by a chap called John Aislaby. Believe it or not, that'd be probably worth about £200,000 in today's money. It was John Aislaby's son William, who had already worked on landscaping nearby Fountains Abbey and Studley Royal, that went about turning Hackfall into an impressive Victorian tourist attraction. He built a series of follies and viewpoints alongside a waterfall and fountain to keep the Victorian tourists that visited entertained. We've made our way through the two pillared stone gateposts, and we're cutting our way deeper and deeper into Hackfall Wood. The river's still flowing away on our left-hand side, but it's a bit further down now as we start to climb further and further upwards. We've reached a little viewpoint known as Sandbed Hut, which attracted the attention of the famous landscape painter J.M.W. Turner, who painted the view from here. Amazingly, apart from the mist, of course, it doesn't look too different to this day. Maybe the trees have grown over a bit more. But it definitely echoes the mood of what we're feeling on today's audio walk, as, of course, creating mood and atmosphere was definitely Turner's bag. As we continue to make our way uphill, I can't help but just stop and catch my breath and admire the wonderful trees that are surrounding us and sheltering us from the weather. It's actually amazing that there's still a wood here to explore, because between the 1930s and the 1980s, the site fell into quite a bit of disrepair and was actually used as a logging site. But thanks to a collaboration in the 1980s by the Woodland Trust and a newly formed Hack Fall Trust, they went about clearing the site and restoring some of the follies to near their former glory. And of course, clearing the footpaths that we're walking along now. In 2007, the site acquired a £1 million grant from the Heritage Lottery Fund, which went a long way towards continuing the restoration work and building a new car park, among many other things around the site. Which means today we can wander around and imagine that we're a Victorian tourist, seeing the place in all of its glory once again. We've made it to the banks of Fountain Pond, which, just like the river in the valley below, is surrounded by this beautifully atmospheric mist. In the centre of the pond looks to be a little island, but inside that island is actually a fountain from which the pond gets its name. Apparently, back in the Victorian times, it was quite temperamental, and from what's on display next to me, I can probably see why. The pipes that fed the fountain were actually made out of elm, which is a type of wood. And if elm is kept wet, then it doesn't rot, which is really quite amazing. They used to pump water through these elm pipes, and it would spout up about 8 feet into the air. Back in 2007, work was started on restoring the fountain, and it's built on a pressured pump. So water fills a tank, and then when the tank becomes full, the pressure squirts the water out, and then the tank refills. A short distance from the banks of the pond, we find our first folly of the walk. It's known as the Rustic Temple, and it's said to be an example of Cyclopean stone masonry, where large stone blocks interconnect with each other, removing the need for any mortar to glue them together. Back in the Victorian times, it would have been sheltered with a roof and the walls inside plastered, like an old Victorian summer house overlooking the pond and the landscape beyond. Today you can still see the stone blocks, but unfortunately the roof is missing. What I would give for a little bit of shelter from that on a day like today. In the wall at the back, there's a little alcove where you can just imagine a statuette being placed. I can imagine the Victorian tourists sitting here, having their little picnic, admiring the view in their grand Victorian clothing. It's a far cry from me in my walking gear and thick coat, as the rain falls through the gap in the roof above me. We've made our way a little bit further down the path from Fountain Pond, and we've found ourselves now at the Grotto, another one of these fascinating follies built into this intriguing woodland. Its large arched frame doorway is framing a view of 40-foot fall, which is a waterfall that's cascading off the cliffside in front of us. The mist has cleared just about enough for me to see a white fleck of water as it trickles down over the rocks and cascades through the autumn colours of the wood. The grotto would have originally been built using a locally sourced porous rock known as tufa, which is deposited as part of a chemical reaction in calcite-rich water. Although the top of the arch has been restored using much more familiar sandstone, the base of the structure is still made out of this tufa rock, which is really quite rough to the touch and filled with little holes. The holes seem to be providing a home to the local spider population, because a lot of them are covered by webs. With all this rain, the streams that run down through Hackfall are really flowing at quite a pace today. The one that we're just about to cross is coming down from the bottom of 40-foot fall, the waterfall that we could see from the grotto. I hope you're feeling adventurous, because it's quite a large step to get over it, and I don't really fancy getting my feet wet. Ah, there we go. Made it in one piece. Let's follow this stream down towards the river and see what more follies may await us in the woods beyond. Ahead of us, on a promontory at the end of this path, is Fisher's Hall. If I'm allowed to have a favourite, then this is definitely my favourite folly here at Hackfall. It's an octagonal structure that towers quite high into the trees surrounding it. On each of its grand walls is an arched window, on one side overlooking the woodland, and on the other overlooking the River Yore below. The windows would have once been filled in with grand wooden frames. Some of the frames are still there today that have been restored from their original glory. The walls of the building are once again made by that intriguing tufa rock, and it would have once had a large conical roof on it, protecting its inhabitants from the elements, and a horseshoe-shaped bench at its centre, providing views out of all of the windows. Once again, you can only just imagine what it would have been like when it was in its full prime. There's been a debate over the years of why this place is actually called Fisher's Hall. Some say that it's because of its close proximity to the river and would have provided a shelter for local fishermen. But the story that I think I'm more led to believe is that it's named after the Aislabys' gardener at the time, William Fisher. I'm just pausing to catch my breath, because once again, as we're leaving the river behind, here at Hackfall, the only way is up, as we follow another stream with a series of cascading waterfalls heading in the opposite direction to me, down towards the river. As the mist still hangs in the trees, which are glowing various different tones of green, yellow, orange and brown, it just really does take your breath away. There's something about being in a woodland at any time, not only on a day like today when it is so atmospheric. I just feel so privileged to be walking through here. It's also great that I can share this experience with you as well. As a squirrel knocks off some autumn leaves from the tree above me as it leaps from branch to branch. We're now at the top of that series of cascading waterfalls, and the path has plateaued out into another quaint little viewing area. To our right is the remains of Kent Seat, named after an eminent Victorian garden designer. It's a folly that would have once resembled the grotto that we came across earlier on in the walk. But today, unfortunately, there's not as much left of it. Just an arched wall with an arched bench at the bottom of the little banking behind it. But what it's looking out over is really quite quaint. It's known as Allen Spring. And it's a series of little eddies of water cascading over that tougher rock, which is clad in this soft, bouncy moss. The water is trickling down into the pool at the bottom, separated by two waterfalls. It really is a beautiful little oasis. Now, the next part of our walk looks like it could be quite tricky, as we have to traverse some stepping stones at the bottom of one of these waterfalls and then up a bank at the other side to reach our next folly. Hopefully, if I make it in one piece, I'll speak to you when we get there. Ah, we've made it to this peaceful corner at the very top of Hackfall Wood. We've climbed from the lowest point down by the river, and now we're right at the top of the valley. We've reached Mowbray Castle, which is named after Roger de Mowbray, who was one of the main landowners in the area when the Aislabys were developing Hackfall. And this folly is built to resemble a castle. In fact, resemble the ruins of Knaresborough Castle, which is not too far away. Of course, it was never intended to be a castle, just what is known in the architectural business as an eye catcher, which is said to stand out when you look at it from a distance. Although I must admit, it's quite impressive when you look at it from close up as well, as it towers above me and frames the misty sky in a circle of turreted outlets above. As far as I'm aware, I don't think there was a roof on this one. It was just meant to resemble the ruins of Knaresborough Castle. So even the Victorians would have been getting as wet as I am, as I gaze up into the heavens beyond. We're now making our way along the path that hugs the top of the valley. Some really quite grand oak trees and beech trees along here. They're starting to go those beautiful autumnal colours, and their skeletons being silhouetted by the bright mist behind is just adding to the atmosphere that we've been growing accustomed to on this audio walk today. Ahead of us is the final ruin on our walk today. Known as the Banqueting House, or more recently coined the Ruin, it stands proudly right at the top of the valley, overlooking Hackfall Wood and all of the other follies and fountain pond that we've encountered on our walk today. It's from here that the eye-catching nature of Mowbray Castle is most evident. Of course, with this mist, we can't actually see these things, but at least we can imagine that they're there. Today, the Banqueting House, or the Ruin as it's now known, is owned by the Landmark Trust, and it's actually let out as a holiday let. When Hackfall was given the £1 million grant back in 2007, a lot of that money was ploughed into renovating this structure and making it into this fantastic, unique, quirky little holiday home that we see before us. It's designed in the style of Robert Adam, a famous Romanesque architect. Many people say that he may even have had a role in designing this building when it was first built back in the 1700s, but I suppose that's only speculation. Well, we started this audio walk from a viewpoint, and I think it's quite fitting that we're finishing from one as well. Although that blanket of mist is not allowing me to see much further than the tops of the immediate trees, at least we can imagine the grandeur of the landscape in a little bit more detail now we've actually walked through it. I think it's really good that Hackfall has been restored to at least some of its former glory, so we can pretend to be Victorian tourists discovering these quirky little follies in amongst this beautiful patch of woodland alongside the River Yure. I think on a day like today, which is so atmospheric with the mist and the autumn colours, there's nowhere else I would be rather recording an audio walk than Hackfall Wood. It has been absolutely spectacular, and I hope you've enjoyed joining me here. If you have, then please check out more of Open Country's audio walks on Open Country's website, opencountry.org.uk, and you can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Open Country Yorkshire, where we post these audio walks in podcast form on a reasonably regular basis. If you'd like to find out more about Open Country and how we help people with disabilities to access and enjoy the countryside, then all of the details about that is on our website as well, and how you can donate to the charity as well. But until the next audio walk, thank you ever so much for listening. But from me, it's goodbye for now.